You're tuned to Belfast Community Radio. That's WBFYLP, broadcasting at 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine, and streaming on the internet at wbfy.me. In the next half hour, you'll be hearing from Mike Hurley, who is running unopposed to retain his seat on the City Council. The WBFY Public Affairs Department thought it was important that you be able to hear from the candidates, even those who are running unopposed. Thank you for your attention and for participating in your city government.
I'm Alice Seeger, and we're here with Councillor Mike Hurley, who's running unopposed for re-election for the Ward 4 City Council seat. We're asking the audience questions which didn't get covered in the recent candidates forum. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
The first question is, why run again?
Yeah, good question. You know, they asked a question about civility, and I kind of thought I heard senility for a moment. I'm 68. I'm getting older. I was looking around at candidates night, and I said, I've become the old guard. You know, like I used to be the young guy in the room or the younger person in the room. And, I've been around now three terms as mayor, and this will be my fifth or sixth term. I kind of lost. I think it's going to be my sixth term if reelected. You know, because there's a lot of really important stuff on the table. And when I was, and I think it, I think my voice is an important one that I bring to issues that often I don't hear from others. And I'm always ready. You know, I did a thing as a one time, Petcha Kucha, as a community arsonist. And, you know, the idea is that I start things, and that the mark of a good arsonist is that when you walk away from the fire, it keeps burning. Now, I really wish that there was other voices like mine. I don't hear them that often, and you know, I'm not celebrating myself here. I'm just saying that's part of the reason that I think about things and I work on things that I believe are important to the people of Belfast and the future of Belfast. And right now I've still got steam, but, you know, it's not going to last forever, and I realize that. And, you know, I don't want to be sitting there at 80, I can tell you that.
Well, one of the questions that came up is, how would you help Belfast become carbon neutral by 2030?
So when you talk about Belfast, you're talking about the entire city of Belfast, or, I mean, all the people, all the buildings, all the cars, all the boats, all the trucks? I'm not sure. Or is it just the city government of Belfast, which is nine buildings and, you know, we have about close to 80 vehicles, 90 vehicles. There's a difference. We're working on the city government side for sure. Just bought two hybrid cruisers for the, you know, that are electric for the police. Big trucks, it's harder because of just the amount of power you need to do the things you need to do. The highway garage, we think it was a net zero building. We won't have to pay to heat it. We've done a lot with solar energy. We're generating about 95% of city buildings and city lights. And often people think that means the entire town of everybody's house. No, it takes a huge amount of solar to do that. Part of doing that has been just the leadership end of we're doing it. Of course, it's easier for us to do it because we can, you know, fund something through the budget, through the taxes, and take a long-term approach. It's a lot harder for every individual homeowner. We're going to have to, we're trying to do all this stuff. Are we going to get to be carbon neutral by X? You know, I don't know. That's by 2030. It's really up to everybody else to jump in and do everything they possibly can.
Thank you. Next question. How would you attract jobs that pay a livable wage in Belfast?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do. One is by trying to have a welcoming attitude for the city. That's been difficult. Almost every proposal that has come before the city has found significant opposition, whether it was Tractor Supply, Pierce School Apartments, Nordic Aquaculture. A lot of businesses or people look at that and just don't want to do it. You know, I think one thing is we're a great place to live, and people want to be here. Businesses want to be here. So that drives affordable wages, and there you go.
On the other side of the spectrum, there's a new and larger food pantry being built in Belfast. Ordinarily, we'd celebrate when we build a new and better facility for our community, but in this case, it's indicative of a larger community need. How would you address the reality of food insecurity?
It's a real problem. We have schools where 80% of the kids qualify for free lunch. The problem of wage inequality, of people who cannot are living on the edge week to week on paychecks, is a serious problem. These people don't get up at city council meetings and proclaim their problems. You know, we hear much more often for great ideas that, but people do not seem to be on the edge of starvation or food insecurity or housing insecurity or healthcare insecurity or everything insecurity. That's why I'm committed to working for more jobs and a better economy for the city of Belfast, more opportunity for people. That said, you know, you don't solve every problem in the end, but Belfast has a very supportive food pantry, you know, and a lot of different things the city of Belfast and the people of Belfast do to help people.
Airbnb is a hot item in towns and cities throughout the country. Are you aware of any problems related to Airbnbs here in Belfast?
Well, I think one of the problems is that it's a scapegoat or a easy scapegoat. You know, to me, people who buy homes and occupy them for 2 or 3 weeks out of the year is a bigger problem. You know, I walk down streets sometimes in the winter and it's dead quiet because nobody's in any of these houses or many of these houses. That said, you know, it's a small proportion. There's not a huge amount of apartments in Airbnb. I always try to remember that every one of them is owned by a local person trying to pay their taxes, trying to make a living, trying to have a, you know, make it here in Belfast. I think it's something we have to watch, have to keep an eye on. We don't want to be like towns in Florida where you have 20 people moving into a house on the water every third day, you know, and we're not. So, you know, it's something we're watching. And if it gets worse or, you know, becomes significant, I think we'll have to do some things, but not ban it or something like that.
Would you support a registry that would review safety features in Airbnbs and keep track of them that way?
We've talked about a registry being the first step, but, you know, I don't think it would be about safety and all those things. The first thing we would do is just, well, how many do we have? And how big an issue is it? So there you go. I'm not ready for any of those kind of regulations. We've got a lot to do in Belfast that we're not able to do because we're spending too much time on other things that are consuming. So we're being very careful about new ideas because we're just overwhelmed dealing with what we've got.
What do you see as enough growth? Is there a limit of growth in Belfast? Is there an ideal amount of growth? And can we or should we limit growth? And the example that the questioner offered was Bar Harbor or Ellsworth as an example of unregulated growth.
Yeah, well, we're not Bar Harbor or Ellsworth. And we're not New York City, by the way. You know, Ellsworth is a county seat that you have to go through to get to Bar Harbor. And Bar Harbor has this little thing called Acadia National Park. So, you know, these are unrealistic comparisons. I would ask people, you know, if MBNA hadn't come to Belfast and built their buildings where Bank of America, Athena Health, On Process, and others work, where almost now 2,500 people working there. They gave us the MBNA gave us the dog park, the boathouse, the steamboat landing, all kinds of other things. What would Belfast look like if MBNA had not come here? Very much like a village like we are today, except we're lucky to have had them show up and help. We don't have any kind of great growth. People are afraid of growth, but things always change. I see people come back to Belfast who haven't been here in 20 years, and I go, how different is it? I say to them, and they go, well, a little busier, but not very different. And I think without a doubt, things change. When I came here, there were, you know, supermarkets at the where the Redmond Hall is and where the mall across the way is, and there was a First National up where Rennie's Plaza is. And, you know, today it's different, but not hugely different. So I think we're not on any kind of huge growth. If we have any kind of growth, it's we have a lot of people coming here and buying homes, and they are transforming the affordability of living in Belfast. That is the growth that I'm concerned about.
Well, thanks. We're talking with Mike Hurley, and he's running unopposed for Ward 4, Belfast City Council, and I'm Alice Seeger. I'm going to move on and ask Mike, what role should the Belfast Comprehensive Plan play in moving forward?
Well, really important, and we should have updated it previously, which we hadn't. Don't ask me how that happened, but I thought it had been, but it wasn't. We now have a really great comprehensive plan committee that's working on it. You know, it's a good thing. We've got a lot of plans. We had the Renaissance plan. We had the waterfront plan. We've got a lot of plans that are really important. But I always remember what from the Pirates of the Caribbean about the Pirates Code. Well, it's not actually a code. It's more like a set of guidelines. And, you know, these are really important, but things change, and you have to change with them. You can't, you know, we didn't have anything about climate change in the comprehensive plan. Things have changed.
Okay. Another question that came in states, it would be wonderful for kids to have a place to play close to downtown and the Harbor Walk. Are there any plans to include a playground on the waterfront?
Yeah, that's a favorite of mine because, you know, Parks and Recreation, of course, and is that would be their baby. And, you know, we had a huge showing for pickleball. But I can tell you, most of the people are older. And, you know, older people are used to getting their way. They aren't afraid to speak up. But try to get a bunch of kids to say, we want a playground. You know, I feel like we could use a little bit of playground space in the downtown.
If you saw incivility mounting, how would you intervene to defuse the situation?
Well, has incivility mounted? Sure, it has. But, you know, these are it's primarily around the fish farm. And this is a passionate issue. People have really strong feelings about it on both sides. And I'm not one of these, there's good people on both sides, equivocal guy. So for one thing is, I'm going to allow people to be passionate. What I don't think is helpful is, and, you know, I've been charged with, you know, that I'm being incivil. Well, when I'm being told I'm corrupt and a liar and on the take and on and on and on, oh, stupid, etc. I mean, I can't even make a list of all the things that we've been charged with because the city was supportive. You might get something back when you say those kind of things, you know. But generally speaking, for me, I've lived in Belfast 40 years. I've been active in, you know, I can talk with anybody, anytime, all the time. I have devoted my life to it. For civility in general, I would say, number one, don't call people liars to start with, and you probably will have a better conversation. It's important. Words matter. How everybody comports themselves matters, and it doesn't take a lot. You know, it only takes a few drops of incivility to, you know, really set things off. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. You know, I am engaged. I think about this stuff. I want to talk with people about it. Every time I get a chance, I will. If I've ever been in civil, you know, because I own the movie theater, Robert De Niro in the movie, a stick-em-up movie, a guy asked me, did you ever kill anybody? He says, no, but I hurt somebody's feelings once. I am sure I've been guilty of that, and I'll do better, and I think we all can do better.
As an elected person, do you feel there should be a different standard for engaging on social media?
Yes, without a doubt. But, you know, I've been criticized for even being at all representing what I believe, and others have. I think, you know, without a doubt, the number one standard would be, if people don't like what you're doing, they should throw you out of office. They shouldn't vote for you. They shouldn't support you. And, you know, I look at the fact that, you know, somebody said, why don't we have, you know, they were stating their positions about an issue. And, you know, I'm not going to try to resolve this with down to the last person. These are issues that the fish farm is a perfect issue of. There are many people on both sides. We decide these things with elections. That's what a democracy is, a representative democracy. And, you know, if I say something stupid on Facebook, which I try not to, but every now and then it leaks out there. I was a columnist, a newspaper columnist. I wrote 850 weekly columns in Belfast. So I know what my words sound like in public. I'm used to that. Many people don't with social media. They, you know, everybody's, you know, keyboard warriors. I try to be responsible. On that, and that said, you know, we have to be very careful. We don't have any standards for city employees. For instance, the police chief or the fire chief or the city clerk or the librarian. And everybody has a Facebook page. That's a real minefield.
Is it appropriate for the members of the city council to engage in social media to respond to citizens if they are inappropriate?
Well, you know, this is a whole new world we're in with Facebook and Twitter and all the rest. So I think the answer is yes, it's appropriate. Some people do not at all. Paul Dean, never. Mary Mortier, never. Mike Hurley, regularly. Eric Sanders, Neil Harkness, regularly. Some people are better at it than others. I am responsible for my words. If I say something that is inappropriate, I am going to be in trouble. And, you know, now, but I don't remember which president said it. They said, give them hell, Harry. Truman, he says, well, I just tell the truth and they think I'm giving them hell. Some of this is spirited, without a doubt. And you have to, as all people should, of course, be responsible on social media. But I think there is a added extra responsibility for an elected official in particular. And, you know, just Google elected official thrown out of office and for social media faux pas. It is a minefield that I walk through every day. But I do feel people have a right to hear from me. And I don't mean that everybody has a right to my opinion. But if there's an issue and we're talking about it, and, you know, often these issues are like a great one is, and I'm not talking about complex issues. It's the simpler issues that are the problem. We added a stop sign on Congress Street and people went, you know, absolutely bonkers, and, you know, because everybody understands a stop sign. It's not a complex question. So you can defend it a couple of times, three times, and I think people expect you to. And I try to be very careful about my words, but there's some very sensitive people out there, and they get very, very hurt very quickly. So I try to be careful. And yes, of course, we have to be more responsible, and I think we are.
Can the use of social media be used in a way that does not escalate situations? For instance, Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high.
That's theoretical, and a lot of people think they should have gone low when they were talking about that. The social media is, I think it's a powerful tool. It's a wonderful communicator, but you have to remember that many, many people are not using it. Often you're just talking to the same people over and over. I'm not going to have endless arguments with people about an issue. I try to tell people what I believe and what I think about, and they can say what they need. As we all know, social media has everybody is now an expert on everything. So it's just part of the mix, part of it. What I do like is you have to use your name. I do not like the Bangor Daily, where you can comment with a nickname. You know, at least here on social media, if on Facebook, I'm saying my name. This is what I believe. I'm accountable. If you don't like it, tell me about it. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
And how would you represent citizens who disagree with you?
100%. Many people disagree with me. Often they disagree with me. I said to somebody who's running for city council, I said, we agree on 18 and a half out of 20 issues. One or two, we don't. They're still Belfast. You know, I look at everybody in Belfast counts. I once heard a saying, if somebody doesn't count, nobody counts. I look at everybody who counts. And by the way, I look at the people who don't speak up as counting. Those people are shyer, are less willing to speak to people or speak in public. Maybe they don't have the education. Maybe they don't have the background. I'm supporting. I work for everybody in Belfast, not just one or two or a group.
We're speaking with Mike Hurley. He's running unopposed for Ward 4 in Belfast City Council. This is WBFY 100.9, Community Radio, Belfast, Maine. So, Mike, one question is, please discuss how and why you would prioritize accessible and affordable broadband to all citizens in Belfast.
Well, we have a broadband committee that's working on this, and the goal, I believe, is to provide broadband for the entire city of Belfast, corner to corner. It's going to be really expensive. We don't know exactly how expensive it's going to be, but we're talking like every road in Belfast will have broadband, like it has electricity. We know now it's in the top three things that people look for when they're buying a home or they're moving. You know, many, many, many people now are working at home. Are connected, have to be connected at home. It's a huge issue, and it's going to be really expensive. So Islesboro did it by bonding it. I think eventually that's probably what we're going to be talking about, but I'm not an expert on the broadband issue. I just know it's something that's coming, and it's really important.
There are many councillors that have been serving for many, many years. Do you support term limits?
No. And, you know, I think that's up to the city people of Belfast. You know, get involved. I wanted somebody to run against. And honestly, I thought if there's a good candidate, I'm at risk. There's a lot of new people. There's people who are interested. I thought I stood a good chance of losing this election if there was a good candidate. Nobody ran against me. That's not on me.
Now we get to dream a little bit. What would your ideal Belfast look like in 10 years?
I do actually think about these things. I stay up awake at night thinking about them. we have to have more affordable housing. We need more development closer to Belfast so that we're not spread out and sprawling from corner to corner out into the boonies. That's one concern I have about putting really good internet all the way on the last, you know, street in town, is that it encourages sprawl and it encourages that kind of growth. I think we're going to see the growth of the farming. One of my pet things is pet projects is the Belfast Yards, where the railroad building used to be between Front Street Shipyard and the Front Street Pub. All of the Belfast waterfront has no residential. There's nobody living on the Belfast waterfront. It's all major industry or parks. I would love to see downtown Belfast moved onto the waterfront so that people could actually live down on the waterfront and bring some year-round life. In 10 years, I think we're going to absolutely have to have some idea about what we're going to do about sea level rise on the waterfront. And energy-wise, I think that's really important. Affordable housing is critical. You know, people always said, well, we don't want to be another Camden. Well, we're on our way. And if we don't do something, you can't stop people with $500,000 from buying a house and living in a beautiful location. But if you can offset it with a way for 40 lower income people, like teachers and cops and clerks and you know, people who work, carpenters, to still live in the same area and share the same space, then you can offset, you can retain the way of life that I think everybody loves about Belfast. We have a really good place, and how you keep it is critical. And so that's what I dream about, creating policies that make that possible. You know, it's sort of like, again, you know, it's almost like preparing a garden. If you do it right, things will grow. And that's what I'm working for.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to tell us about today?
You know, I think the hardest thing is how to listen to people who don't speak up. Belfast has almost 7,000 people. As I said, 2,500 people working up at Bank of America, Athena Health, on process. Couple hundred down at Penobscot McCrum, couple hundred over at Matthews Brothers, 900 and plus at the hospital. You know, often we're not hearing from working people. We have very active citizen participation in Belfast, but the voices we're not hearing from, we have to work harder to listen to those voices. We have to think about those people and not just respond to the people who with the loudest voices in the room. That's always been my motivation, my goal. I've done that since I was mayor. I've done that since I was a young man, and I'm going to keep working on that. So I think that's critical to having the Belfast that we love be the same, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and it's definitely going to change, and I hope it changes well into the future.
Well, thank you, Mike Hurley. Thank you for being here at WBFY.
You bet. Thank you.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to Mike Hurley, incumbent candidate for the Belfast City Council, interviewed by Alice Seeger of the WBFY Public Affairs Department.